tonight is really special because, as Kate said, we have four people who are part of our community here. We baptized them in our main Woodlands venue this morning. And we are celebrating those baptisms here this evening. We don't have the capacity to baptize here right now, but we are working on it for next time. So for some of you coming here, it may be that you've come here specifically because you're with a friend who has been baptized and we're celebrating together. It may be that you've just come because you're here through curiosity, a whole host of different things. And actually for you, baptism could feel a little bit unusual. For some people, the only experience that you've got of baptism is of babies being baptized with fonts and little white frilly dresses. And you wonder why grown men and grown women would be baptized. What's that all about? Others of you, you might think even that baptism is some kind of weird, outdated, crazy medieval ritual that people go through, that people think that it's magically going to transform them, like in the video with Delmar as he goes into the water, and no matter what he's done, no matter what kind of past he has, what life he's led, he goes down, just be dunked, just that simple thing, and he feels like everything's magically different in his life. And George Clooney, he might be expressing what you feel. Hard times flush out the chump, you know, baptism. It's for chumps, people who just want to find some kind of meaning, some kind of hope. What I want to do is I want to share with you what baptism means before we actually get the stories of the guys that were baptized and we celebrate with them and pray for them. But before I answer that question, what is baptism, I want to ask you a question. And here's the question, and I want you to shout out to me. In fact, put your hands up. This is a really serious, important question. How many of you here use emojis on your phone? Put your hand up. Okay, put your hand up if you use emoji. Put your hands up. Put your hand up if you never use an emoji on any form of communication, text or whatever. Okay. No one. Anyone? Okay. Someone at the back. But the rest of us, the vast majority, you use emoji. Okay, shout out your favorite most used emoji that you would use on a text. Annoyed. Smiley face. Thumbs up. Who uses a thumbs up every day? Okay, what was it over here, John? Winking. Saucy. Who said boob? Poo. Okay. Maybe I shouldn't prolong this any longer. But, you know, we use emojis on the phone. I reluctantly have got into this. I kind of get it now. I've got two teenage daughters, and you're forced into this. And I pretty much understand them. I understand all emojis. I know what they mean. The only one I don't understand is the person that's crying and smiling at the same time. That just seems like a crazy person with deep-seated emotion. Crying with light, it still looks like a mad person in need of emotional trauma healing. But we use emoji. Tell me, why do you use emoji? Laziness? Shorthand? Exclamation? It's fun. Any other reasons? Expresses emotion. Very good. The reason that you use an emoji is because sometimes words are just not enough. With communication, if it's going to be effective, if we want to make our message be heard, then sometimes words aren't enough. When I speak, I can't help but use all my body language because sometimes words aren't enough. If you see someone about to step out into a road in the face of oncoming traffic and disaster, you don't just say politely, hey, you're about to be mowed down. You go full out, you run, you wave your hands in the air, you use more than words, because sometimes words are not enough. And when you want to do that wonderful thing, when you want to tell that precious, special someone that you want them to be your precious, special someone forever, you get down on one knee, you hold them a box in your hand with a little band in it, because sometimes words are not enough. In Manchester, as we mourn with those that are mourning, people, hundreds and thousands of people have gathered. They light candles. They put out flowers. They strew the streets with teddy bears and cuddly toys, because sometimes words are not enough. Sometimes words are not enough to tell a story. Sometimes words are not adequate to express something which is so profound, so powerful. And sometimes using more than words, using a symbol, a grand gesture. What it does is it keys into a kind of collective consciousness where we know that, like on bended knee proposing to someone, you're enacting something which thousands and thousands and thousands of people have done all down the ages. Because words on their own, they're not enough to convey something which is so big and so important. And sometimes we want to say we're big, we're part of a bigger thing, we're part of a bigger story. We're enacting out a little drama, we're showing a gesture to show what we mean. That is what baptism is. Baptism is a giant emoji in the Christian tradition. Baptism is the ultimate body language. Baptism is when someone is saying, listen, I don't really have the words that I need to communicate this, because some stories are just too big, they're too beautiful, they're too powerful, they're too inexpressible. And sometimes it's not enough for us just to tell our story. Sometimes we act it out. And what happens with baptism is when a person is being baptized, and the thing that we celebrate this evening is baptism is an acting out. It's a symbol. It's something that says something beyond what our mere words could tell. It tells a story. It tells a story which is so important to us. Actually, baptism tells three different stories. First of all, baptism tells my story. Everyone say, my story. These guys that have been baptized, you're going to hear in a few moments them telling their story with words. But when they were baptized and go down into the water, what they're doing is they're telling their story, the story of faith. Anyone that gets baptized, they're trying to tell you with a physical grand gesture, this is my story. Wonderful passage, and the early church has been doing this right from the very word go. From day one, the day of Pentecost, when Jesus was proclaimed as risen by his disciples, and people were so overtaken and overcome by the power of this message that they immediately wanted to do something about it, and they wanted to commit themselves to following Jesus. And when Paul, in Acts chapter 2, was asked, what do we need to do? He says this, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And then it says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. In other words, baptism, right from the early start of the church, was a symbolic act that said to the world, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided that I want to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. The people, the 3,000 on that day of Pentecost, and imagine that baptism service, 3,000 people. These people were each individually saying, we have our own backgrounds, our own thoughts, our own stories, and now we all want to make this symbolic act together that we have become followers of Jesus. We've become convinced that it is true. Baptism is a sign for everybody, for your friends, for your family, for anybody that cares to watch. It's a sign that you have decided to become a follower of Jesus. For most people today, it's not going to be on one day like they did on the day of Pentecost, when they had a whole life of historic understanding of theology, of the scriptures. For most of us, faith comes as a kind of surprising thing, and it takes a while to process. We may go on a journey. And it's sometimes difficult for a person to identify the time when they first knew that they wanted to believe. It's usually a little bit of a process that goes along. Some of you, you've been coming along to these services for a while now, and you came in, and when you first started, it was all kind of new and different and unusual, but something grabbed you, something just felt right. And you came and you pursued. And over the last weeks and months, something's changed inside of your heart. And you feel like, yeah, I'm becoming more and more warm towards Jesus. And it may be that you can't quite pinpoint the time when you really started to cross that line, but you find that you have become a follower of Jesus Christ. Well, baptism, it says, this is the moment I'm acknowledging it. I don't quite know when it happened, but now is when I'm signaling it. Just like when I got married to my wife, Kate, that was not the day that I fell in love with her. In fact, our relationship had been growing and blossoming over the last few months. But that was the day when I said, this is a sign, a symbol, a grand gesture. This is my story. I love you. I want to be with you for all time. And everything I have, I want to give it to you. And I want to be with you through the ups and through the downs, through the easy times, through the hard times. And baptism is like that. It's like a person saying, I don't know exactly when I fell in love with Jesus. I don't know exactly when I first began to think that it was all true. It's been a process. But today is the day that I say, yes, this is what I want. For richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, through sickness and in health, I want to follow Jesus as my Lord. This is my story. But it's not just my story. It's our story. Everyone say, our story. Basically, with the message that Jesus gives to his disciples, he gave them a little commission at the end of his life. He said this, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Now, this is called the Great Commission. Everyone say Great Commission. Very good. Great Commission. It was the final mission, the mission, should you choose to accept it, that Jesus gave to his followers before he left them, was ascended into heaven. Now, you can look at that, and if you're not familiar with that, the whole mission of the church, God's people on earth, what he gave us to do, you might find that a little confusing. So let's just focus in on the key words that you see there. Basically, we've got go, make disciples, baptizing, and teaching. Those are the verbs in that passage. The only thing that you need to know is that only one of those verbs is in the imperative, the command tense. In other words, it's not a whole bunch of different commands and you've got to try and remember them and put them in order. No, it's one command with three explanations of how you do that command. So the one command is make disciples. It's not go, it's make disciples. Disciples. Jesus says, you're my disciples. I want you to make more disciples. A disciple is someone who is a follower of Jesus, who wants to live like Jesus, be like Jesus, not just believe in Jesus, but live like Jesus. And Jesus says, this is what I want you to do. Make disciples. So the disciples say, well, how do we do that? He says three things. First of all, you go. Secondly, you baptize them. And thirdly, you teach them. So going is basically allowing people to find Jesus for themselves. When I go, it means I'm not just keeping this message to the four walls of a church. I'm taking it out into my everyday life, into my workplace, into my friendships, into my leisure, into every place that I go. I'm going with the message of Jesus. That's why we talk about a culture of invitation, because we want people to find Jesus. He's told us. And if you have a problem with Christians talking about their faith, take it easy on them, because they're only doing what they've been told. They have been told, commanded by Jesus, to go and share their faith and invite people to find Jesus for themselves. But he says, I want you to baptize them. Why? Because baptism is the sign that they have become a follower of Jesus. And then I want you to teach them all the things I've commanded you. What did you command us, Jesus? To love one another as I have loved you. To lay down your life and serve the world around you. And so it's a command. And when we're baptizing someone, we're saying as a community of people, this is our story. We're part of the grand tradition of faith stretching down the ages. We're part of his universal Catholic church. We're part of the fellowship of believers who from day one have been obedient to the call and the command of Jesus Christ to go and to baptize people. So every time we baptize people, this is why we do it publicly. We're saying we are enacting out this story and you're part of it. And that's why within Metro, our little mantra, our vision is to help people find and follow Jesus. So find, follow, love, and serve. We want people to find and follow Jesus and then mobilize them to love one another and serve their city. Because one, that's about going. We go to people so that they can find Jesus. We share our faith so people can find Jesus. We invite friends to come in so they can find Jesus. And then follow. That's how we baptize people. We baptize them so that they can start their journey as followers of Jesus. And then finally, we teach them. Teach them what? Teach them to love one another. Teach them to serve their city. Not just teach them a bunch of things to believe in their heads. Teach them a lifestyle that they live. And when we baptize people, we're saying, this is our story, and you're part of our story. This is how we are doing the mission that Jesus asked us to do. Jesus commands us to go into the world, help people find him, and then baptize them as followers of Jesus, and then help them learn to live the life. So it's our story. But most importantly, it's God's story. Everyone say God's story. Even better still, it's Jesus' story. Because what we do when we are baptized is that a person is basically saying, hey, listen, I want to show you what Jesus does in a person's life. I want to show you what Jesus has done. It's so beautiful. It's so wonderful. It's so amazing. I can't do it with just simple words. Let me enact it out. And so when I go down into the water where I'm buried, I enact out how Jesus died and was buried. He was laid in a tomb. And then when they pull me up out of the water, I enact how on the third day he was raised out, raised back to life, and he is alive again. And this is what Paul said, one of the early Christians, when he wrote a letter to explain baptism. He says, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. You get baptized, you go down into the water, you say, I am buried with Christ. My old life, buried. My old hang-ups, buried. My old addictions, buried. My old allegiances, buried. My old controlling behaviors, buried. Now I'm raised with Christ. I'm alive to a brand new life. I'm alive to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm alive to his Spirit who comes to live in me, to empower me, to fill me up so that I know God and I live in a brand new reality. I experience a whole new dimension. I once was lost. Now I am found. I once was dead. Now I am alive. I once was blind. Now I see. I once was hopeless. Now I have hope and glory and a future. I once was heading for nothing but a dead end grave. Now I have the hope of everlasting life. Glory, hallelujah. I have eternity as my promise. I have the future without end as my birthright. I have been raised with Christ. It's so much more than words can say. I'm saying this is Jesus' story, and we are baptized into it. And that's what baptism is really all about. It's about telling the best story ever. A story so good, so awesome, so life-transforming. My story, our story, God's story, Jesus' story, that words in themselves fail us. And only a grand symbolic gesture that echoes and mirrors the same gesture that has been made by millions of people down the ages can do it justice.